Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I'll leave you with this with Dustin Chaffin.
How was Guns N' Roses?
That was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, they were awesome. 3 hours.
3 hours?
Mm-hmm. Wow. No opening act.
Really?
Yeah, we found that out because we went to go eat before and we thought ZZ Top was supposed to open.
Oh, wow.
And then, but Laura, like, I don't know if Laura really cared to see them or, like, you know, we had just went late. Instead of being, because we thought it'd be like a 4 hour thing.
Sure.
So we were like, oh, we'll just go late. And then they, like, the day of, someone got a message. Like, they either, you know, tweeted it out or something. Some people, they got, Lauren, her cousin that was going there too, is like in the fan, like, that's their favorite band. And
oh, wow.
So, and they found out.
Did you get a hookup? Like, did you get to hang out with them and stuff?
No.
Like, slash his guitar?
Yeah, no. I tried. I asked, like, because they're repped by UTA.
Oh, okay.
And, but you can, the only thing you get is, like, you can buy a ticket for, you just buy a ticket for the same price. Like, it's $250 or something.
Like a regular ticket, but you get better seats?
Maybe you get to sit in, like, this. Nah, we had better seats than we would have got if we went that route.
Okay.
So it's not like they have like a crazy, like, I just wondered, I figured for like Guns N' Roses, you know, for those big things, like they're not going to have like a crazy hookup to be like, sure. Oh, hey, I'm a big fan of, you know, I mean, I guess maybe if you're Matt Damon wanting to go.
did he sound good though?
Yeah. He sounded great. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I don't know.
I mean, what do I know though? But like, you know, yeah. I think so. Like, yeah. I mean, Laura seems to.
She's
they were
the
happy.
Expert.
Kenny, she's expert. My buddy Kenny is a huge fan of theirs, and he thinks they're great.
Because I saw him right when they came out, and he had a hard time getting through the songs, like because he sings so high.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I can't imagine him at 60 or whatever, singing like that.
He's all he gets all the way through it.
Oh yeah, I don't. Yeah, all right. I was kind of torn between wanting to see him at that age, you know.
Yeah, it's fun. But they do, you know. I mean, I don't realize. Yeah, I don't know how Slash is great. He is big, like. Yeah. But
it's just weird.
I don't like. There's a lot of songs I don't know. Like, there, I mean, a lot of songs. Like,
really?
I guess I'm not like.
So you know, Sweet Child.
Yes, I know the
Welcome
main
to the
ones.
Jungle.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, there's a lot I do know, but it's not like I sit there the whole concert and like. And like
3 hours is a lot of Guns N' Roses.
It's a lot of Guns N' Roses. Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Metallica this year, and it was
I would love to see that.
We got front row.
Oh, wow.
But it was like General Mission front row where you had to like get there like 5 hours early and stand in a line. And then we were like smushed up against the thing.
Yeah.
But we caught a pick. Like it was that close. They're flicking picks and we caught them.
Yeah.
But it was cool once, you know, just to kind of be that close. And
Yeah, I'm a big go do something like that.
Yeah.
Like, go do. I went to, I mean, I got this shirt, the Astros.
What is it? Oh, did you go to?
I went to game 4 and 5.
Oh, wow.
And game 5 was what people think is.
That was the 12-12? The one.
13-12.
13-12.
And
then
they say it's the best World Series game of all time.
Really?
And so I was right there.
Nice.
And so, like, that was, you know, like, game 4 wasn't as. I went with my uncle for game 4.
Sure.
And so that was fun to go with him. And then game 5 I went by myself. But that's just something that you're like, yeah, you go do it. Because you know what? Like, even though they're expensive, it's like, the money you're not going to think about, like, ever again. Like, you're going to move on. There's plenty of other dumb stuff you've bought.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So it's like, and you get to leave with that experience. Like, you going, like, front row to Metallica. Like, you don't have to go do it again. You're like, I did it. You know?
I mean, what am I going to do? You know, just spend money on Amazon? Like, I'm going to spend it somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. This is how we start the show. We just kind of go into conversation. Welcome to, what do we decide to call it? I'll leave you with this with Dustin Chaffin. So a new show here. This is pretty exciting for me. If you don't know me, well, you probably should. I'm the guy that...
it's your podcast.
It is. I'm the podcast. Yeah. And it's New York City Comedy. This is a show where, I feel there's not enough, shows about comics interviewing comics. So I figured I'd be a trailblazer. Kind of bring something different to the table.
Yeah.
I used that joke for the last episode. Yeah, it's interesting because the first episode, Jamie Kilstein, who was on the show, and boy, he's been through some shit this last year. And we thought it was interesting to have him on because of all the stuff that's happening with some of the comics in the comedy world and producers and things. And but what's interesting, the parallel between the two of you guys, I'll introduce you in a second, but, Barkers. I feel like this is, I could just do a show of just all my old Barkers, and it would be an interesting show. Like I took, took care of, they took care of me, that kind of thing. We have this big family relationship. But my guest today is one of my best friends in comedy, somebody that not only I lived with, roommates on a little apartment in Astoria. We lived with Nick Novicki and Rich Aronovich, and it was four of us in a little apartment. And
Two bedrooms,
sort of. And, Nate Bergatze is everybody. He's known from Comedy Central, Conan O'Brien, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. The list goes on. He's got a new show. He's... got a pilot for very excited to have you, Nate Bergatze.
Thanks,
thank you for doing this on last minute, appreciate it.
But
that was good times hanging out and just kind of being, not really being comics yet, but just I miss that energy sometimes.
I miss that a lot. Like I always think that, like, when you were doing it, when you were first starting out, it's like it's all just about the jokes, it's about getting the laughs. I mean, you're not even remotely thinking of like television or something like that. Like it's like there's nothing, it's never in your mind, like you're just so, you got to perform in front of people, so it's like it's so, you're so nervous about that,
you know? Well, yeah, I mean, it's like watching you kind of, really, I really saw you kind of become this little caterpillar butterfly thing in comedy. And I feel like it's really interesting to watch how you, because you always kind of had this thing where it's like, you were a terrible barker. You were the worst I've ever seen.
I was real bad.
I think in 2 years you got six people in.
If
that. And they were probably from Tennessee. And or maybe,
I brought them.
They were friends. They were friends from home.
Doesn't really count. I only got people in that were already probably going in. As they're walking in, I'm like, oh, these were mine.
Hey, those are mine. Are they really? Are they yours? Okay. I don't know if those are yours. But yeah, that was, it was funny. Jamie and I were talking about it. And, it's the rock and rollness of it and the, the partying and alcohol. We were getting nuts, It was just
great.
It was a time to do that,
Yeah.
But I feel like...
It was a very safe, like, you really, you don't even, you kind of think about it now.
Yeah.
But like the stakes were just not, even though they're high because you're so young and you're trying to make people laugh, but you're just in your own little world. Like starting at Boston Comedy Club, like that was like, I wouldn't go any other. I just had someone text me, like a young comic, being like, would you have to bark or whatever in New York? And I was like, I don't even know if they still do it. I was like, it's not like it was. Like for us,
it's
a
different
business now.
It's different now. It is, Boston Comedy Club is a club we're talking about again, because I will talk about Boston a lot on this show, because I feel like it's just part of so much. And I feel it's an underrated place where a lot of people got their start. But now it's, it was interesting to see Pete Holmes, who's also one of the Barkers. And to see him kind of, it's funny, it's so weird, like, with Crashing, he's kind of doing a tribute to Boston, but at the same time, it's kind of in modern times. So it's like, it's not, it's just it's an interesting thing. He's doing a throwback to it, but it doesn't exist anymore. And so it's just kind of interesting where he's doing like a 90s to early 2000s now of a club that existed.
Yeah.
But it looks great, though. I mean, it freaked me out when I saw the sign and everything. Mm-hmm. And just walking around, he texted me, I said, you got to come see this. I mean, and they made it look exactly like the Boston.
Yeah.
They had to bag it in and all that. I was waiting for some crazy Irish dude to just run out and just like hug me and come on, Dustin, have a drink. And I was just like freaking out. But it is different. I mean, it's like, I run a club down there now and it's like we sell tickets.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel like those people, you know, are a little more professional, and you know, the whole barking scene.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, I mean, some are not even comedians. Like,
yeah, and they're going to make money.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I knew comics are just like, you know, would pretend they were barking. They'd just go get coffee and come back or something. But even, let's talk, but the sets, though, you know, that was interesting because it was like, it was a place to fail. Yeah. And I think that's what people don't have enough of.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like there's this comedy in the 70s. I feel like there wasn't that many comics. So these guys would get stage time. And, you know, because they needed comics. Mm. Now we don't need comics.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's hard to find a place that'll let you just get up there and eat your dick and find it.
In front of real people, too. And that's the most important. Like,
oh, open mics are the worst.
Yeah, because so it's, you just get in front of, like, the, you know, all those. I mean, it really was, like, a pretty special. Like, it's one of those where you're like, I would never go back to that time, but I would never give up that time. Like, if you could go back.
I don't want to be that broke again, but.
Yeah, you don't want to be back to, like, yeah. I mean, I worked at FedEx for a little bit. I would just stay up and then go right into a FedEx job, like,
oh, that's right.
At 5 in the morning.
That.
Like, so I would, I would bark till.
You FedExed in Manhattan? 3. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sure you told the story before. It's crazy.
Manhattan's easy because it's a grid.
Okay.
Brooklyn, Queens was a nightmare. And this was, really? You had a map. There was no GPS.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I knew, I delivered before, so I knew how, I knew how to read a map. But it was, Brooklyn and Queens were the hardest. Wow. But it was, so, but doing that, you know, you just stay, I mean, all the, you know, but it was like, yeah, it was fun. It was like, there was no one was watching us, relatively, you know.
Yeah. I was keeping tabs.
Then,
I was keeping tabs.
No, you're watching us. But I mean, like, it's not like, but we're all like there to able to like have fun and like, I don't know, like grow and stuff.
Yeah, like, but we were like all like, in the foxhole together. It wasn't some like Barry Katz was watching everybody.
Yeah, you were in there with us. You were just right above us, like as far as the years of comedy. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's even, you're the leader and you're not like you're a 50-year comic or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you're still just us. We're all grinding and like and all just trying to get up and watching guys. I mean, it was the people you would see to come in. It was perfect. It was like the perfect breeding ground for a young comic, just because they, you could sit in the back, you could always watch. You know, the cellar is like kind of tough to like watch anybody. So
I feel like you're in the way and stuff.
Yeah, you're in the But they had that, you had the back bench at Boston, and you had like, you know, you could stand. There's places to stand even if it was sold out, and you would just see everybody come in. Ben Bailey, you know, I mean, Ben Bailey, Judah was just the hug me guy from Dave Matthews Band. Like,
that's right.
So you just had all these guys that weren't famous. Burr, Patrice, they would run. They ran their half hours.
Geraldo. Yeah,
like,
we ran Patrice's. We watched him. We timed him. And, you know, talked to him.
I
about
used to sit in Patrice's car, so he would.
Oh, so we can get a ticket?
So we can get a ticket, because you remember you couldn't park right in front
of it. Use that as a credit for a little while, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I still use it as credit. But the, because he would, you couldn't park right there.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, it was, I mean.
It's magical, man. It was as much as it was a nightmare. There were parts of it that, I mean, I almost died in the bag of it in like 3 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you'd be down there till 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning.
It's like you shut the grates and like whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, the biggest thing, and I think, and something that you've done amazing with, is kind of developing the proper relationships in comedy.
Yeah.
You know, and working with people that like you and get your comedy, and people that, you know, want to like work with you on a higher level and things like that. And that's what you're not going to get in an open mic.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to walk in and you're going to be, everybody's going to be at your level, and you're just going to like, you know, sit there and stare at each other. You might laugh at something, you might not, whatever. And you might get something out of it, but in that environment, just being around those big comics, it's just going to like elevate you and develop relationships. And, you know, it's just, it really just, it is the key, I think, is older guys got to take care of younger guys.
And you got to see, you have to see the path too. Like, that's helped too. Like, because you saw the levels of everybody. You know, Burr and Patrice were not Burr and Patrice now. Like, so, like, they're, but like, you know, Burr's like, this Sell Madison Square Garden, this megastar, and he was just doing like, I remember he did his first Letterman. So it's like, but I like, I got to see him at that level, and then you get to see him go up and rise. So like that, you have to see that stuff, because if you don't, it feels like it's unattainable.
Yeah,
that's why like guys that are like in the middle of the country and stuff like that that start, if they don't ever come anywhere, like, not, you can do it. You don't have to move. But I'm, I think it's good to. You need to move. I mean, I think you got to move some. You got to just see people make it. Because if you don't see people make it, then why would you make it? Like, you could feel like, well, why do I make it over someone? You know,
sure.
If you don't see Aziz go from open mics to hosting the MTV Movie Awards,
yeah.
then you have no context to, like, think, why could I do that?
Yeah, there's nothing to chase.
You have to see the levels of the guys that go up. And that's the biggest thing. That was the most thing. I would not really, like, starting there with Boston, like, the way you did good for us is you let us, like, I don't know. It was, like, it was about, like, the stage time and running a show and trying to make it a good show, but everybody could get on stage. It was about making us all better. And it wasn't, like, you know, it felt like you, I mean, you're a comic, so it's, like, coming from, it wasn't, like, businessy thing that's like you're bringing, you need to bring tickets in for money. It was about, we wanted a good show. It was, I mean, you want to sell tickets, but like it's more like we just want an audience so we can have a good show.
I was impressed with you because it's like you, and you took some lumps for it, and it was like you, like you never like changed what you wanted to do. Like, in the, and let me explain it, but it's like you realize this is your style. You're a laid back guy. You want to work clean because it's like, it's, that's also a big part of who you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's like where you, you know, when you're represented in public, you don't want to be this filth ball. And you stuck to it. And sometimes in those fucking crowds where they were just like hip hop crowds or whatever, or just like, you know, don't speak English or whatever it was, like, and it would be rough because you hadn't quite found your charisma yet.
Yeah.
So you were just like, you know, it was like Superman. And it was like, and you know, you had jokes that worked, but it was like, but you, you know, you were taking it and it. And like, you eventually, it was amazing how you, even today, you stayed with that. You never like veered off. When people, you know, like we're going a certain route, like you were just staying true to what you do.
Yeah, you have to like that. The hardest I've ever bombed, or that I, the one that I remember the most, I mean, because there's a million of, I don't ever remember bombing, because there's just a thousand of them. So you're like, you know, we performed for one guy at Boston. Like, so it's like, I've done one guy. So I don't, I mean, it's not like you just murder in that situation. You just get through it.
He was pretty good, though. I remember.
He was great. He was a good laugher.
He was a good one.
Yeah, he was a good laugh. I remember us going like, "Are you sure, man?" Like we like no comedy shows ever started with asking the only audience member, "Are you sure you want
to do this?"
I don't know if we want to do this.
He's
and
like,
he's like, "No, I'll do it." I'm like, "All right. Why not?"
Yeah.
Four people was regular.
Sure.
Three, four was, I mean, well, that.
I remember when you're, you just got engaged and, you know, if you, your wife now, fiance, Laura, she was like, it just, you just like, and got engaged to her or something. And then she, and then you had a set that was rough.
Yeah.
And then you were just like, I'm not sure. Maybe she doesn't want to do this now. It was one of those sets where you're like, you're all happy. And then I remember that night being just hilarious, like bittersweet for you because it was amazing. And then at the same time, you're like, oh, really? That's the set I gotta have.
Yeah,
that was a rough one. Yeah, I remember the whole thing.
That's funny doing spots. That's how much we did spots. Even the night,
you got engaged, and you still got to do your check spot. Not even a good spot.
Like what I think you threw me a little bit better spot just because you're
have,
like,
all right.
Yeah, I went right after the check spot. Like I go.
Girls.
I got 50% of the checks were in at least when I got to go. But I remember one night bombing with everybody was going up. Everybody was murdering, and Divanchi. I remember Divanchi was murdered. Like everybody was murdering. So then I went up like, oh man, if everybody's murdering, I'm gonna destroy. Like you know that kind of confidence. And I go up and bomb so hard, and like it just like I and I'll never forget it just because everybody did so good and I was the only one that and I did so bad.
Yeah.
And. I remember having to leave, and like I remember Divanchi like trying to talk, like every, you know, one of those where like, people try to talk to you, like you all right, man, like And I was like, yeah, I just gotta go walk around, and I went and walked around, and like, and I had needed to just like walk it off, and then I blamed it on the shirt I had. I had a green button down shirt tucked in, and I never wore that shirt again because I thought that shirt had something to do with it.
That's hilarious. You know, Divanchi got a show, I think.
I know.
Yeah.
She's writing on a.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I've talked to Divanchi. I've seen her like a few times.
I haven't seen her much, but what's her last name?
Patel.
Patel. That's right. Divanchi Patel. She was also one of the Barkers. Now she has a big show.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when you work at the Boston. You go on to bigger things.
Yeah.
It's kind of a launching pad. Yeah, you know, it's funny, like, you and I had crazy stuff, you know, in our relationship as friends and just and seeing so much in comedy. And I remember you said the thing to me, one time you said this thing to me, and it was like a low point in my life. And I was, it's the funniest thing you said to me, because it's like, it's at some point it was haunting, but at the same time, it's kept me motivated. And you said something. I was just like, we were all drunk or whatever. And I was like, dude, I think I'm going to quit. And you're like, you can't quit. I have to pass you first. Then yeah. You can quit. I was like, you asshole. Yeah. I was like this bittersweet thing. And I was like, wait, why? You know, I was waiting for something like, no, dude, you're a good comic. I love you, bro. It was like, no, it was the most competitive, hilarious thing. But that's how comics are, you know. That's how we motivate each other.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in this way, it's like, okay, you could quit, but I'm going to go on and do this stuff. And it's just like, because it can be very, in the beginning, when you're not getting what you want out of it, it can be very traumatizing. It can take you down a notch.
Oh, yeah. You know? No, it's tough. And that's the thing, too, though, is like, and you do want it to be competitive. You don't want people to quit.
No.
Because if they quit, then you start like, if everybody quit on you, then you're like, oh, well, then what was the drive for any of us? Like,
yeah.
So like we all have to have our things that like you attach to and like, you know, and it all changes, you know, for, you know, the first thing you want is to not bark.
Yeah.
And then, I remember like standing out there in 20 degree weather and just be on the corner for hours. And you're just like, I just can't, like all I would think about is like one day I won't have to do this.
Yeah.
And that will be an amazing day.
Yeah.
And, and then eventually that day comes. But like that, at that moment, that's the biggest thing you can think of. That's the only thing you can think of. You're not thinking of like a TV credit. You're not thinking of anything. You're literally just like, I don't want to stand in the cold and hand out flyers. And so then you're like, I got to just keep doing it till eventually that goes away. Then that goes away. And then your next thing. Then what's your next thing? What's your next like thing that you're trying to get past? Yeah. So I don't know. I loved it. I like, it was coming up like that. I mean, just seeing everybody, you know, Jay, Big Jay, like Metzger and like those guys, like DeRosa, like we were all just like in there, Rondell.
Well, when you see those guys again, it's just like it does feel like you're veterans, you know, like you're. It's
I mean, you know, we've all known each other for 15 years, like or something. That's a long time.
That's a really
long time. Yeah. And then you're in like in comedy, you know people more than because you're with them every night.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had years of 7 years of us just seeing each other every single day.
Yeah.
For hours into the night. Like, you know, and then eventually once you start going, everybody goes on the road, everybody moves or stuff changes. But it's different. But I mean, you're with people and you're all chasing this thing and.
Yeah, I feel like you were really good at it's really, if I were to like, you know, like show like a board of like what to do, it'd be the Nate Bargatze process. Because I feel like what you rolled that ball into so many different things. And if you were at the right place, you know, people saw you at the right time. And not only was it that, your comedy was ready for being seen. Which I think is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like when you, because some of your stuff is by chance that some of these people were in the audience.
Yeah.
But then it's like, but you had the act from all the years of paying dues. And that's the difference. It was just right place, right time. But your comedy was also at the right place.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I've ever had like any kind of like quick handout into like, blown up into like a thing. Even like when Fallon saw me and we did that show, that was 4 or 5 years ago. That show went nowhere. I mean, I learned how to do stuff.
Yeah.
I learned how to like write a show and like, you know, get it be with execs and meetings and all this little stuff that you have to learn. But yeah, I never got like, and it's better that way. I never had something where you're like, you just were like this, and then you're like, now you're famous the next day. And then now you're in another class. And I do think people get hurt with that. You know, Burr was the thing Burr said where he's like, it's like the way Burr did it too. Burr did it that same way where it's like the way he does it, you gain fans and you gain them for life because they have been with you the whole, a lot of them will see you keep popping.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, you get into like after this Netflix things like come out, like that's helped a lot, like on the road, but that's still, it's not insane. I'm not selling out like the Garden or something, but it's like, it's more people. And then those people are like, now, I found you a little bit earlier. I think people like finding, instead of like just being like thrown in.
But you had the perfect first credit, which was the CMT thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, because it's, you're perfect for that.
Yeah.
And like, it's, you know.
I got it because of Pete Holmes.
Yeah.
sent it to him because they asked him.
Really? Okay.
And then he emailed me. I remember being in the apartment on our Steinway Street.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I remember having to email, you know, this is, the email is not like, it wasn't like as seamless as it is now. And but I had to email him. I forget. I could find that email. Like, yeah. Yeah, it'd be take a second to get to it. Like,
well, it's funny. The two things is like, you got the CMT thing, and then I got the dirt poor thing. And then that thing was just ridiculous.
Oh, that was the good, the Showtime.
Yeah, it was.
That was my favorite night, too. That's the night Vecchione.
Yeah. We were all. No, this is the dirt poor comedy tour. This is other than the Showtime. This is the other. Pete sent that to me, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you got.
Well, CMT. What's funny is I did CMT, and I had a TV credit, and I still went back and barked for the lantern, the Village Lantern. Like, I remember, like, I'm like, why did I? Like, is this, it's a TV credit. Like, is that, do I not get
that's
some?
Huge. Yeah.
But he was like, it's like, let's CMT. Let's take it easy.
Yeah, nobody watches
no
that
one cares.
Here.
And you're like, all right. So I had to, I remember having to still bark after
that's amazing.
Being on television. When I did that CMT, all those guys thought I worked for CMT. Like, cause I was just like, so I looked young too then. I was, you know, I was 26 maybe or something like that, like 27. But I just looked younger than, but they just thought I worked for.
And the second credit was Conan?
First
big one, the second
first
big one.
Big one, the Live at Gotham and Conan. 2008 was the first. That was like the big year. That was Conan and Live at Gotham.
Okay.
So then that, I remember 2008 being,
yeah,
like, I remember
Gotham
being
was
like
pretty big because that was Comedy Central at the time.
Yeah.
Right? Now
yeah.
it's a little different.
No, it's Access. I think they got rid of that shit.
Yeah. So I mean, Conan is, you know, that's kind of the,
in New York,
that's the level.
I did it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was.
I remember you had like a rugby shirt on, I remember.
Yeah. I had one shirt that had I wore a shirt once that had my name tag on it.
That's
hilarious. It had like a name tag.
It had a name tag?
I don't know why. It was like a gas.
Yeah. Your fashion choices. Yeah. They're, you know, they're you. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I got that. That was the fun story with the Conan one is like my managers, the Steinbergs, who are great.
Oh, that's right. You were with them for a minute. Yeah.
They, I did Conan, and then Conan was coming back through again, and I was like, I want to try to do it again. And this great. Is, he's in New York. Like, it's the last, I was the second to last comic to go on late. And so he's in, and then I remember telling the Steinberg, I was like, I want to do it. They're like, you just did it. It's too, you can't do it. It's too soon. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, let me just try. I have a new five.
Yeah.
And then I just went and did it.
Oh, without
them.
Yeah.
And but they found out, they called the Steinberg saying we're going to confirm Nate for the showcase tonight. And I remember them calling me like, so you're doing a Conan audition? I was like, yeah. I was like, y'all told me no, but I was like, I have a new, I was like, I just went and did it on my own. They're like, oh, all right, yeah, we'll come down. Like, you know.
Oh, they came in there like all on board.
And then they came down and I got it. I did it a week later.
Dude, that's
like,
so
and that
badass.
Was, you know.
So
and
what was the time span between the first Conan?
Not long. I mean, it might have been a month or two.
Oh
like
my God.
It was like.
I think that's.
Hey, no, you know what? Maybe it was September to February. So maybe it's longer than that. It's yeah.
Because, yeah, nobody does that, dude. That's special. Like, yeah. I just even thinking about that now. That was huge in launching you out. You know, and getting you in front of everybody. I think that's just gigantic. Because it's like because you forget about comics like but when you're like already a regular within the year like that's huge man.
Yeah,
I think that's I would say that was the amazing springboard that you made for yourself because that's great too. It's because a lot of times this is huge. We listen to people.
Yeah,
you know, because we feel like we, you know, this is a person of power, authority. Like we have to kind of like do that route. There's so many times where I've done stuff people told me to do that just ended up fucking me.
Yeah,
you know, didn't help me at all. Yeah. Because I felt they were of power and of knowledge, and then you're just like, nah, man, what's it gonna hurt?
Yeah.
They see me and they don't want me. That's fine.
Yeah,
but that's.
I had a new five. Yeah, I was like, I don't think it
matters.
They'll
either say he was already on the show.
Yeah,
or they'll have you back.
Yeah,
and that that's awesome.
That's Wayne Rader. He was running Eastville.
He's another one. He's part of the Boston days and all that stuff, and a couple of clubs around the Village. But yeah, man, I think, and it's important that I think comics, because you know, to make choices that you feel like you know are good for you, and instead of just you know listen to because everybody has advice that they think is the best way to do stuff, you know, and they don't always know.
No, and you never know. I mean, that's always the advice I always tell comics too. Now is I'm like, you got to go do all this stuff on your own. Like, there's no shortcut. Like, the idea that people think there's a shortcut, there's zero shortcut. Like, we went on stage every day. We still do now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for there was 8 years that we get on stage every single night. Every, literally every night. I mean, you know, I did a show the night I got engaged. So, it's like, you know what I mean? Our birthdays, our birthdays were not taking a night off. We worked.
That's
why
I run a club, because I want to always have access to stage time. That's the only thing I always said. It was just like, I don't care what happens in this career for me. I will never be at the mercy of stage time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it'll hurt me and help me or whatever it does. I don't care. I need to get up. Like, I need to know I can work out that new bit, or I need to get up and play with the crowd. Whatever it is, I am. It's my time, and I want to be able to do it. That's why I've always had a room.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's great. Yeah. Because it is. Then that's all you want. It's like, you know, because at the very beginning, it's about not getting up. You can't get up. And so then you just want to find the place. And that's why, like, the Boston was so great, because it felt like we were all in it together. And you were getting up every night in front of real people. And I think that was, I would always go back to the Boston. Like, I'd always be interested. My buddy I moved here with, Sven Wexler, he doesn't do comedy now. And I don't, like, but he went the other route of, like, we both moved here from Chicago. And I went to Boston and did that every night. And then he went, like, the alternative, you know, the alternative scene. It wasn't like it is now.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close, but there was some rooms, and they would run mics and stuff.
I think because I felt like there was so few of those kind of rooms.
Yeah,
Luna,
you could actually
Lounge
go.
And Fifi and stuff, so it was like they really stood out as opposed to now it's
great.
All of Brooklyn is that.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing.
But he went that way, and I went, you know, but it's like it was, you can't, like, you know, in New York you get better. It's like dog years. You get better, you know, a lot faster.
Sure. Do you feel with all this shit that's going on with Louis and all this stuff, are you a little scared now to kind of even just, you know, approach? I mean, I feel like it's, we really have to, like, I almost sort of be like, a girl comes up, wants a picture, I'm like, yeah, why don't you leave me alone? You know what I mean? Like, I don't, you know, it's like, it's kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm just happy that, you know, there wasn't like smartphones when I started, is what I'm saying. I feel like all that stuff. But do you, I mean, I won't go into it too much, but I just want to be like, you know, does it make you like
feel
a little
cautious? Did I do something
that's
going to come out?
Yeah. I mean,
is this where I come out? I'm like, all right, I'm going
to try to skirt around
ahead of this girl. No.
No, but I don't mean like come out. I just mean like,
no,
I think it taints comedy.
Yeah, it does. I am clean. So, like, I don't really talk about these things. Like, I don't have one sex joke. So, and it's not like in, like, we were talking, I'm my favorite comics are dirty. So, it's not like I'm not against it. Like, I just, my brain doesn't think like that.
Sure.
For material. And, so I'm not like too scared of it. Like, I kind of like not having it just because,
I think
there's just so much of like people trying to be like, you know, they're trying to get a push the envelope, whatever. I do think it's bad, though. I think it's like, I was talking to someone today about it, like, and they're, New York, there's a huge difference between New York and LA comics. And New York comics, I think, are like, you can see that they're, I don't know, it's just like they're much more real here. Like, comics here, like, they're, you know, it's not like they're on board with what Louis did. They think it's ridiculous, but then it's like, they're also like trying to be like, make jokes, be funny, like do stuff. And LA is like, and I'm not saying all LA comics are like this, but like they're, but you know, like I feel like the way they live out there is like, it is more like safe or trying to like say the right thing. But even though they're saying something that's not right, like, I don't know. It's
now, I think, well, you know, Louis is as big as, I mean, you don't get much bigger than that.
Oh yeah. It's
like
crazy.
I think he's a genius. I think he's one of the best comics we've ever had.
Yeah.
I think he's top 10, and you know, to watch somebody, you know, it's like, and also I'm, you know, it's just, I mean, my favorite quarterback's Ben Roethlisberger. We all know this, huge Steelers fan.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same situation, you know? And so I feel like we're, you know, and it's all, sometimes maybe some stuff did happen the way that the accuser said it happened, but at the same time, we're at the mercy sometimes of just people saying shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not saying like with the Cosby stuff or all that, but it's like, I don't know. I always thought if something went to trial, then it was real. You know, that's kind of where I come from. I'm not saying this isn't real. It happened. Obviously, he admitted to it and whatever. Yeah. But I think, you know, it's just scary sometimes to be famous because I feel people always trying to take you down.
They're going
to
try. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like, I think you have to be careful. You have to be like saying stuff. I mean, anything can go. Like, you know, before you would think like, who are we? We're nobody. No one's going to care what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But nowadays you're a comedian. So then like they could just be like, here's a comedian and here's a thing we don't like that he said. And then they could punch it out and like it goes everywhere. Like, so yeah, you have to like be careful. It's like, that's, you know, I try to stay out of it. Like, you know, just like you just,
how have you been, with being able to kind of dance the dance of, you know, keeping fans who might have a liberal state of mind, yeah, as opposed to kind of like where you are, you know, religiously and politically? Does that ever become like a thing where it can hurt you or help you, you know, with just kind of, you know, being who you are, where you come from, you know, politically, yeah, and religiously and stuff, yeah, like that?
I mean, I think I just, you just talk about yourself. If you, yeah, talk about yourself, that was like Marin advice to give him. Yeah. About stealing jokes was like, if you talk about yourself, no one can steal the joke.
Yeah.
And if you make everything about yourself, then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I know, like when I went to San Francisco, I noticed there's a lot of, you know, like it's, there's a lot of people. San Francisco is extremely liberal.
Sure.
And I would be more like in the middle. Like I'm an idiot, so I don't know like politics. Like, but yeah, you don't like, you just, I don't like talk about them. I like keeping everything out. Yeah. I've always loved, my favorite saying was like, yeah, Michael Jordan, Republicans buy sneakers too. Like, I loved yeah, that attitude.
It's great.
Yeah. Like, of just being like, yeah, dude, why? Like, he's like, I'm just selling sneakers, man. Like, I don't have to like go yeah, be this voice for all this other stuff.
Well, my favorite late night set of yours was the Trump set, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
it was so great because you were like, you know, he's kind of the perfect guy for a guy yeah, like yeah, me that yeah, doesn't know stuff.
Yeah.
And it was such an honest approach
yeah,
to it. And it's hard to get mad at it because right now, there's just so much tension with all yeah, this shit. So it's like, I love that. I thought it was like the most honest approach to it. And you also have some other bits about evolution and stuff. And it's yeah, like, it's just an honest approach to it. And it's refreshing because I feel a lot of people try to be like Bill Hicks or something and do the same kind of like one-sided view of stuff.
Yeah.
And you're just,
well, it's
honest
about like that. The Trump thing was about like just saying like, well, what, this was before he was elected. It was,
yeah.
I mean, no one even thought it would get yeah, where it's
but, unbelievable.
Yeah. I remember thinking I needed to get the joke on TV before he gets out of the primary. Like,
oh,
I was like,
hilarious,
he's not going to end in.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea of it was too, just to have a joke that says I like him.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not saying I like him. I'm not saying anything. I don't
yeah,
like it. Like, but I just, the idea, right, as, yeah, yeah, the idea of like a comic just being like, well, everybody's saying they don't like him.
Yeah.
So what if I write a joke that says I do like him? I just want to do it because that's what makes you stand out.
Absolutely.
That stands out way more than
absolutely,
the group that's the other. So like, that's a lot of things. You just want to stand out. I mean, I think, you know, being clean too now like has helped because there's just not like, young comics are not clean. Like, there's not a, like a...
But what you were saying though is like, you said something that like, I'm an edgy guy and I don't think like you think.
Yeah.
Like, my brain is, you know, I come from alcoholics. I come from, like, raising myself and living on my own. So it's like, when I was 16, and so it's like, my brain is like, fuck, and gritty, and da-da-da,
yeah,
as whereas you were raised properly.
Yeah.
you had parents that loved you and
yeah,
cared about you,
yeah,
made sure you were okay, and you went
yeah,
to basketball practice, and you went to church. And it's like, so yeah, so it makes sense, but
yeah,
that's who you are. And
yeah,
it's, sometimes it's like, it's tough, you know, I'll try to get the clean five and the thing, and I'm more suited for Showtime or
yeah,
HBO, because it's like, it's just how my brain thinks.
Yeah, and that's, and that, and you should just do what your brain
yeah,
does. Like, that's how you get the best comedy. Like,
yeah,
it's don't, like, yeah, no one should force anything. No one should try to write some way or some other
yeah,
way. The best way to do it is to be your own.
And some
voice,
guys, like, you see Norton and like Attell on late nights, and yeah, they're great, but they're not as great as they are when they're uncensored.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
when they're
yeah,
just being themselves
yeah,
and they're just letting loose, it's way funnier.
Yeah,
because they feel inhibited. You
yeah,
know. So
yeah,
I think it's important.
Yeah, you don't want them
to
think about
yourself.
Yeah, you just do whatever you came up, like, you know, how you came up with, how you were raised, how you're do, you know,
yeah,
whatever you want to do. I mean, Pete did that. Holmes, like, oh, he's like,
yeah,
he went the other way, but like, you know, Pete was super clean when he first
yeah,
started, and now
absolutely,
he's not, and it changed, and yeah, I don't
it
know,
is kind of interesting to see him say fuck on camera. I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy, dude.
It's like, I saw that, and I was
yeah,
like, whoa,
yeah,
hey, and he's like,
yeah,
there's a little titty situation. I
yeah,
was like,
yeah,
what's
yeah,
happening right now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
but so okay, so I don't know how much you can talk about it, but So you got this pilot that's in the making? Is that with Fox?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fox.
And it's
Put pilot.
Gerard
it's
Carmichael.
Gerard Carmichael.
Very cool.
Ari Ketcher and Dan Shackey.
Unbelievable.
And so we're all going to write it.
Okay.
Me and Shackey have always worked on stuff like, you know, Shackey's been with us for
long time.
The beginning too. Like, and so we've always like just kind of like, you know, all the other scripts that I've done that have never gone anywhere, he's never written on them with me, but I've always talked with him a lot about them.
Sure.
And we were, if we were ever going to write something, we were going to, and then so we went and Gerard called me and wanted to do a show and produce a show, and he's writing it too. And so we all went out to LA, pitched it to Fox, and they did a put pilot. So, I mean, I don't, you know.
Have you shot the pilot?
No, okay. That won't be till. I mean, there's still ways for that. I mean, we're going to put pilot is like you're going to shoot a pilot. They can still get out of it if they wanted to.
Okay.
But, like,
yeah.
I mean, like, I, you know, I'd have to. I mean, you'd have to turn in a really bad script, and you hope we don't do that. Like, but you'd have to, they'd have to really be scared because they've already kind of spent the money for the pilot. So they're going to hopefully want to shoot it. So, but the plan to be shooting like probably March, I guess. I don't, you know.
And it's about your family. And
it's multicam, like Nashville. I kind of just playing myself, like
studio
I'm being
audience
a comedian.
Or no?
Yeah.
Oh, it's studio audience. Yeah. Oh, it's perfect for you. I've always felt like that's a better realm for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to do Everybody Loves Raymond. I mean,
yeah,
like,
that's great.
Fox
that's
great. Is. I like Fox. I think Fox. Tries
you
stuff
love their
different.
News
I love so. Their news yeah I love their Fox Sports One
yeah it's a good one
but no they Fox just seems like a you know I mean hey any place is gonna be good but
they probably embrace your southern
they embrace or, it more I mean they know I think they know Fox knows their audience
that's
is
money.
A lot of the middle of the country
Nashville
and
makes
then,
money
yeah
it's like for a reason
so I mean you know we're what we wouldn't essentially know till next May.
It's still really exciting. And did you work with Gerard? Is that how you guys kind of?
No, he just called me.
He just like, saw you on TV or something.
He's Gerard's going to be a. I mean, I've knew him. I've known him just being a comic. Like just us. Yeah. We've hung out like before, but nothing crazy. I didn't have his number or anything. Like,
oh, okay.
And he called me, and you know, Gerard is Norman Lear is a big influence on Gerard. He knows Norman Lear, like in
But that guy's impressive because I feel like
he's gonna be Norman Lear. He's gonna be Chuck Lorre. He's gonna have I promise you, Gerard will be huge.
I didn't even know who this guy was, and he had an HBO special, and it was and then he had another one, and then he had a TV show.
Yeah.
I was like. I couldn't even say his name right. And he had like all this stuff happening. And it's like, that's a guy that you stick close because he knows how to do it.
He knows how to do it. Yeah. And he's not been like, you know.
No, he works
I think
hard.
A lot of people he works for. And I think at first, a lot of us, I mean, I could have been in the same situation where you thought like, oh, he's getting handed all this stuff. Like, who is this guy? And then once you talk to him, you're like, oh, no, you've earned every single thing.
Yeah.
And he knows how to do, he knows how to make a show. He's real smart about it and, you know, just has studied it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's going to be a huge, huge TV producer and doing whatever he wants to do.
That's the way to do it, man. That's where the money is, man.
Oh, yeah.
Producing is where
it's
at.
He'll be that.
I think it's good for you also to have, because a lot of people don't know about you and, you know, you have a little flavor to you. And so I think it's good to have a black African-American. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, I think it's, you know.
Well, he's Southern, too. I mean, me and him get along.
Yeah,
like
perfect.
Like, so we get along well. We both grew up the same, like, as far as, like, the way a typical Southern family grows up.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a lot of people relate. Like,
yeah.
You know.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's exciting, you know. It's just like, and that's the thing, man. You just keep pushing forward, keep doing projects, and keep, you know, I feel like if I could sum you up, it would just be like, you're just determined to tell your story, you know, and determined to just keep producing art. And I think it's, you know, it's inspirational, man. It's great to see you, man. It's like, you know, I almost get teary eyed just talking about it. Cause it's like, you were this little dude that just, you know, was kind of trying to figure it out, and you're really nailing it, man. And it's really amazing to watch. And,
well, it was a big part to you and starting, you know.
Yeah.
That's a huge, I mean, you know, there's a lot of all the guys that were there at Boston. We all.
Yeah. Nah, it's beautiful,
it's,
man.
It's awesome. And it's.
If you could do something a little different or you know, say, you know, advice, because I mentor a lot of comics, so, you know, it's kind of a little bit of the audience here. What would you say to, like, a guy just starting out, and maybe if you could do it a little different, or, you know?
You know, I mean, if I could do it different, I don't know if I would. I mean, I really, like, that the time at the Boston and time we went to New York after that, I mean, I've just followed you around for a majority of my career. And so I wouldn't give up any of that, because that was, like, the greatest thing in the world. And I don't think you should give up. I don't think you should question anything. But I think you have to go. I think if you're a young comic, you have to go through these steps.
Yeah.
You have to. It is how unfun it is. Like, I remember once, like, a lot of it's like hanging out. And I remember comics, man, I'm so sick of older comics saying hang out. You're like, well, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You have to hang out. You have to be around. You have to, like, just be like, oh, like, around watching stuff. You can't just be like all over the place. You have to be constantly trying to go up. You don't need to be sitting there trying to write a brand new 5 minutes every day. You need to learn how to do a good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That was something I learned at the Boston, was like, because you're able to do the same set a lot.
Yeah.
Because you're in front of a real crowd.
Sure.
Well, that's how you get good. That's how you learn how to, like, destroy. And you know what that sounds like, you know what it feels like. And then because then when you don't, you would see guys that have never murdered, and I mean, I remember them coming off stage bombing, and you're like, you're almost about to just say, it's whatever, man, this crowd's whatever, and they're like, oh, I think that was good, and you're like, what? Like, because that's what they're used, that's the best they've ever heard. So when you're on stage, they think, yeah, that was fine, I'm used to that.
Yeah.
So I think you have to learn how to murder, and you got to know how to murder at least with one joke, so you know you have something to compare all your other jokes to that joke.
Well, one thing I've learned from you, just, you know, over the years watching you, is you've taught me something, and, you know, I think it's what I've learned is, you know, let the crowd come to you. You know, you don't always have to be, you know, like, you know, everybody's good at what they do. Mm-hmm. Like, Brian Regan's good at what he does. Yeah. There's certain people that are good at what they do. You know, Sherrod Smalls, you know, people that maybe go at the crowd a little aggressively. And then it's like, and then you know what? If they like you and they like your material, they'll come to you.
Yeah.
You don't have to force it down their throat. And I'm learning that, like, I have certain material that I can take a beat and I can just, I don't have to hammer them on the head with it. I can just kind of let them simmer and let them laugh and take, you're good at pauses.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing too. And you've also become a better story.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.